Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 261 of your favorite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie183 and I return this week with, I guess, our own kind of legal episode of Knowing Wheel. Knowing court cases? I don't really know how we're going to word this one. Jamie183, though, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
Doing well, yes. I'll call you Matt212 today, since we're going by full internet name.
Of course.
Whatever it is. Yeah, had a good weekend. I was a bit boring with no football and no F1, apart from, obviously, Tranmere Rovers versus Barnet, which was good fun. Yeah, for a Barnet fan anyway. But
what was the score?
2-0, away win. Happy
days.
That's
good going. I mean, seventh. You also had the darts on last night. That was quite interesting from the bit I watched.
Didn't watch the darts.
Oh, Luke Littler. I felt a little bit for Luke Humphreys because he just wiped the floor with him. But it was kind of insane. So there clearly was sport on, you know, all this. People complain, oh, it's the international break. I can't go one weekend without watching the football.
Well, I actually did watch. I was there at Tranmere.
You still managed to watch football, yeah, exactly.
Did watch football this week.
Exactly. So still complaining that the international break, and he's still able to watch football.
Exactly.
Crazy.
I need to sort myself out. I apologise.
You do. You absolutely do. This is Knowing Wheel, not Knowing Ball. But I'm sure when the podcast is huge, we'll have a spin-off show where you can ramble about FPL and stuff like
that. Where I can
like
bin
that.
You off and find someone else to talk with.
Exactly. Someone you'd much rather talk to in the future. But yeah, today though, we're hoping to do two episodes this week, aren't we, Jamie? This isn't going to be a US Grand Prix preview show. That one will hopefully go out on Friday, because there's a lot. I mean, it's always the case with Formula One, isn't it? There's often more to talk about off track than there is on track. And this week, of course, is the massive ongoing case surrounding Zak Brown, Alex Palou, and it kind of seems to be a black hole of bringing more and more stuff into it at the moment,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the first hearing of, I think it's the first one anyway, it's definitely a hearing of the McLaren versus Palou case, which they announced they were going to do maybe 8 months ago, towards the start
longer
of the year.
Longer than that, I'm pretty certain.
Was it longer than that?
Yeah, I think so.
And it all came about because Palou for 2024... IndyCar, basically didn't fulfill his McLaren contract, which he says was for good reason, and he was legally allowed to break that contract. McLaren disagree and say that he screwed them over, he wasn't allowed to leave, and he broke the contract, and therefore they're coming after him for money, basically. To
Lost revenue, isn't it?
Opportunity cost, basically, of lost revenue, lost sponsorship, lost prize money, possibly, and Palou isn't having it. And it's been quite a juicy court case so far in terms of his defence last week brought up a lot of stuff, which is very relevant to the Formula One world.
Yes, yeah, and I mean, it does date back quite a few years now. So, I mean, Jamie, I don't know, do you ever watch any IndyCar out of interest? Because
no.
I do tend to keep up with it pretty well. This all really stems back to, I believe, the end of 2022. So obviously McLaren they'd won one race in the last decade, hadn't they? Obviously that famous win for Daniel Ricciardo in 2021. Obviously Ricciardo was being kicked to the curb. And obviously McLaren, obviously because of the budget cap in Formula One, I remember originally when this was talked about, do you remember when the budget cap was first meant to be coming in? And people were like, we could genuinely see Ferrari competing at the Indy 500. Because it was something they genuinely spoke about, because obviously they'd have all this money that they can no longer spend in Formula One. It wasn't Ferrari, though, that started to do that. It was McLaren, obviously, first of all, tested the waters with Fernando Alonso. That was a huge failure, which I'm sure, obviously, Fernando still wishes to forget. And then, obviously, as we get to the end of 2022, obviously, McLaren now, I believe, already have an IndyCar program going. And they're looking, obviously, to try and really pan out their lineup, ready for 2023. So, obviously, with Ricciardo being kicked to the curb in Formula 1, Alex Palou, for those of you that don't know, is the dominant IndyCar driver right now. This year, he won, I think, out of like the 14 races, he won 9 of them or something ridiculous. Locked up the championship with weeks to go. You know, was quite clearly the favourite going in and just dominated again. He's now a 4-time IndyCar champion. He's basically on a similar run to what Verstappen's done in the last few years to try and put it in F1 terms.
He's a better Colton Herta, who is on the F2 grid next year.
Yes. So obviously McLaren thought, you know, we fancy a taste of that. And of course, obviously McLaren coming from F1 world where there is a ridiculous amount of money. You know, IndyCar is not a cheap series by any stretch, but it is much, much cheaper than Formula One. Obviously they've got the mic to basically buy whoever they want in. So obviously they basically went to Alex Palou, of course, come race for us. We'll get you an F1 gig at some point. Or that's what Alex Palou is claiming. Was said to him. Yeah. Because, of course, he actually, hilariously, Jamie, I don't know if you've looked into this, he actually had a staggeringly mediocre European junior career. Like, you look at it and never expect him to be a dominant driver anywhere. I think he came, like, 15th in Formula 3.
That kind of thing does weirdly happen, doesn't it? Where people...
It's quite bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. Just don't do that well in the European lower series. They find a team where they really gel. Yeah. Or a series, but they're really gel, and they just run with it.
Exactly. So, yeah, kind of this was for him, because I think after GP3, he basically came to the conclusion, of course, that his F1 dream was dead. And obviously McLaren then, according to Palou, obviously basically promised him that. Obviously didn't sign with them. Signed a contract with them at the end of 2022, ready for 2024. And then, of course, obviously went on to win his second championship with Chip Ganassi in 2023. And basically turned around and went, I either get an F1 drive now or I'm walking. Of course, McLaren at this point already had Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris on the books ready to go. And this is kind of where this fascinating tie-in comes in, obviously, for Zak Brown. Because apparently he has now allegedly said that he never wanted Oscar Piastri on McLaren's F1 team in the first place. Which is a bold choice of words, especially considering everything that's going on and all the call-outs of McLaren bias at the last weekend at Singapore.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that is interesting is that obviously this all ties in with the when Piastri signed for McLaren on the F1 side of things. That was all quite rushed, and it felt like a bit of a last-minute thing when he obviously Alpine announced him as a driver, and he did the famous tweet where he said, "I'm not driving for Alpine, there'll be a
one
different
of the
team."
Greatest tweets of all time.
Yep. And very quickly got announced as McLaren's new driver for 2023 in F1. So I think Palou was certainly, what he is claiming is that Ricciardo was going to get kept on for 23, which he had a contract for. They
originally
broke the contract, didn't they?
They gave him out a year early.
And then Palou was going to be phased in with free practice sessions in 2023 and then drive the car in 24. So then when they signed Piastri, it was obviously a shock to him. He found out via Twitter rather than his own team. You know, he's part of a McLaren family and they didn't think to tell him that they signed a new driver. And yeah, obviously that changes things. And he was given a bit of a false promise that he and Piastri would be assessed through the 2023 season. Obviously, that gives Piastri a massive upper hand because he's actually driving the car. And then, obviously, like, Piastri does fine in 23 and keeps the seat.
He wins a sprint race in 23.
He does win a sprint race, bunch of podiums. Obviously, a rookie compared to his teammate. But, yeah, for rookie season, it was great. And Palou had no chance of beating or, like, showing enough to be given the seat for 24. So, which was that point. He then quit the McLaren IndyCar team and went back to Chip Ganassi and won another.
He never was actually part of the McLaren IndyCar team as such. He was just part of the McLaren family.
Yeah, exactly. And what McLaren are coming after him for is obviously lost sponsorship. Is it NTT, you said?
NTT, which are a huge, basically like a mobile phone and Wi-Fi provider out in the US. They're an absolutely huge conglomerate. Basically had, I don't know whether they'd signed a contract with Palau personally, but it basically obviously said, we've got this much money that we're going to put into IndyCar next year. I mean, the IndyCar series is sponsored by NTT as well, or has been in the past. And basically, obviously, you know, as a complete guess, they might have gone, we've got $25 million. We are putting that on Alex Palau's car. Whoever's got him gets that money, effectively.
Exactly. Exactly. So McLaren are claiming damages for lost profits in that regard, and also the kind of the missed success by not having the champion in their own car, which is,
even though he quite probably wouldn't have won the championship in the McLaren car anyway.
Exactly. The McLaren in 2024, which it would have been for, was absolutely awful, and they had a bunch of good drivers, and that's what Palau said. You know, you had Pato O'Ward, who's pretty reasonable, Teo Pourchaire, F2 champion, Callum Ilott, who was a couple of wins away from an F2 championship. You know, he's being quite humble in the way that, like, you know, you had a bunch of good drivers anyway. You know, even when they put Alonso in the McLaren for the Indy 500 2022,
earlier than that. This was, I guess, 2019,
he was in F1 by 22, wasn't he?
Yeah, 2018, I think. In the end, he did his ill-fated, well, obviously, because he did the one the year before that was a McLaren's backed car that wasn't actually McLaren ran. But I think it was 2019, wasn't it?
Where he didn't qualify.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Palau's saying, you know, if you put Fernando Alonso in your McLaren IndyCar and it didn't qualify for the Indy 500 against a rookie on bump day or whatever, I don't know, watch IndyCar. But yeah, the fact that Alonso couldn't qualify in this car, there's no way that Palau would have won the championship. He may have done marginally better than the drivers they did have, but not by enough to warrant missed opportunity savings that McLaren claimed they would have got. So
no, exactly, and it does kind of come across a little bit of, you know, I guess especially obviously with all the stuff now that's coming out that allegedly Zak Brown has been deleting WhatsApp messages despite the fact the courts told him not to, which again I think is a great claim for obviously WhatsApp's privacy and security, all their claims obviously for
hashtag
that.
Ad
exactly, yeah, done very very well. If WhatsApp want to sponsor the show, absolutely go for it. We'll create a group chat where we'll just go, Jamie and I are recording today.
And WhatsApp can just give it a little react or something.
Exactly, yeah, and you can put notes in that you want us to talk about. It'd be glorious. But yeah, so obviously apparently all this stuff's obviously going on around with that. Obviously it could not have come at a worse time though. After, obviously, Singapore, I think we both agreed, didn't we? What Lando did wasn't actually completely unfair in of itself, but it probably does go against papaya rules, which McLaren have already given themselves a whole big problem with as well. And, you know, and I don't have any reason to believe that Palau's got any bad blood with Oscar Piastri. I don't think he would, like, stir the pot to try and, like, get under Oscar's skin or anything. I can't imagine they've ever really spoke to each other or would have any problems with each other. You know, they're both kind of in this racing world. They both kind of know how the business works. And obviously are both seeing a huge amount of success in their own series as well. For all we know, they might stop and have a drink together come the end of the year. If Oscar wins
the McLaren downfall.
Exactly, yeah. But of course, obviously, especially with everything after Singapore last weekend, if you're Oscar Piastri now, already feeling a bit annoyed, you're going to be really, really annoyed now if this is true. And obviously, this is where now Mark Webber comes in. You know, multi-21 Seb, everything like that. Not bad for a number two driver. Because apparently now Piastri, and we quote, should start learning Italian. Is he going to be making a move to VCarb in the future, Jamie183?
I would be a little bit surprised if it's VCarb, to be
that's
perfectly
Italian
honest.
Team.
But yeah, it's an interesting claim from Mark Webber, who does. He's
on,
another
Jamie,
one who lost
it,
there in the pot.
Say the line.
I can't. Go not on. Bad for number two driver. Cheers.
No, not that one. That one. Just say Mark Webber.
Mark Webber, that one.
Thank you. That's how you have to say it every time.
Yeah, apologies. There we go. What I would love is Oscar Piastri to win the world championship this year.
Yeah.
And drop the not bad for number two driver
on
the radio.
Incredible. if it gets to Abu Dhabi where he wraps it up beforehand, I would pay so much money to hear him say that.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is all come up. Obviously, does Piastri have some Italian blood, or I made that up? It feels like he's got a bit of blood everywhere, to be honest. It definitely sounds slightly Italian surname, doesn't it?
I guess if you're going to stereotype?
Well, it's just words. I mean, yeah, I think
He does have Italian heritage through his father.
There we go.
He also has Yugoslavian, Chinese, Scottish. I mean, Oscar Piastri is just a pot of culture, isn't he? Chinese, yeah. Yugoslavian, Scottish, and Irish heritage.
Yeah, wow.
Incredible.
And he's been adopted by Charles Leclerc.
And he has been adopted by... Because I think Charles Leclerc has also got some Italian blood in him.
Probably. But this would basically be for 2027 at this point.
Yes,
so,
as far as we know.
And it is all conjecture. There's absolutely no hard evidence at all. But the fact that Mark Webber, who is Piastri's manager, says, you know, is hinting at the fact he won't be at McLaren forever if it carries on like it's going. And Ferrari would have interest to put him next to Charles Leclerc, you'd imagine, for Lewis Hamilton's incoming retirement in a couple of years, which is very sad news for Matt.
It kind of feels, I think, as well, isn't it? Because I think the plan originally was obviously give Ollie Bearman a couple of years at Haas. But although I wouldn't say Ollie's done badly, he hasn't kind of really set the world alight like I think people were hoping. Probably not helped by the fact that the Haas car, I would argue, this year has been less competitive than it was last year overall.
It's just got worse drivers in it, I think.
It's really weird. Haas. It isn't as good as it was. Its highs aren't as high as they were last year, though. I think is probably the big argument to make, isn't it?
I think Ollie's doing okay.
It basically just means, that Ollie Bearman, I don't think Ferrari feel is ready to go in alongside Charles Leclerc when they were, in an ideal plan, were hoping for him to be Lewis's replacement.
Yeah, although it's his first season, he's been 18. He's done okay. It's like pretty level on qualifying against Esteban Ocon,
He's done very well against Ocon.
And by the end of next season, he's got another year under his belt.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. Maybe. But yeah, back on Piastri. Obviously, if you are Oscar Piastri in this situation, what you've got is you've always had this kind of intuition or this feeling that Zak Brown doesn't like you, probably, who is CEO of McLaren, who is the kind of face in the media of the team you drive for in Formula One. And Zak Brown basically said he wasn't my choice. Or Palauer certainly has claimed that Zak Brown said he wasn't my choice. And instead it was Andreas Seidel, who was team principal at the time at McLaren in 2022.
Yeah, obviously 2022. Kind of quietly disappeared, didn't he? To go back to, it was VW Group and obviously all their GTA
projects. He's now at Audi. Yeah. Well, no, he was at Audi and he's now gone from there. Isn't it?
So just disappeared out of the woodwork. That being said, though, I do still personally feel that Andreas Seidel does like Oscar. I think he likes the fact he is kind of just an out-and-out racer. You don't have to need all the frills and everything else around it.
Yeah, but you do get the feeling that Norris is McLaren's guy in the same way that Leclerc is Ferrari's guy and that kind of thing. Hmm. Or Verstappen at Red Bull, for instance.
Verstappen is Red Bull at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. But if you're Piastri, you would be thinking about how am I going to get out of this situation in a few years' time. Obviously, hopefully wrap up this title for his sake, hopefully have a go at next year's title, and then maybe do a Fernando Alonso and leave when you've won two back-to-back world championships.
Although in Piastri's case, by a rookie.
He'll be hoping he doesn't go 20 years without another race, another world championship.
Another championship, yeah. I think, it, like we said before, it is kind of that big thing, isn't it, this year? Or both McLaren drivers are well aware this is their one chance, potentially.
Well, it could be.
To win a world championship. But of course, obviously, if you're in Oscar's boat as well, if McLaren end up stinking up the field next year, if they're nowhere near as competitive, of course, if you've got that option to keep doors open for yourself, if you've got good talks with Ferrari going on, and for, because as much as we like to clown on Ferrari, very rarely, or even when they are, they don't end up being miles away from the sharp end for very long. It's kind of almost impressive, isn't it, with Ferrari, how often they can be so near the top but never seem to be at the top or
they must
stay
have finished
at the top.
What if they had 17 Constructors' Championships, I want to say? Something like that?
15, I think. 14 or 15. Yeah.
They must have finished second and third about 20 other times.
Probably.
They are basically always in the top three in Formula One. It is crazy.
It is still that hilarious stat, isn't it? I don't know if you saw this a few weeks ago. That since 2009, Braun GP and Ferrari have led the Constructors' Championship for the same amount of race weekends. Braun GP only competed in one of those seasons.
That is good stuff. And that was, they basically won it from start to finish.
They've led the entire championship, yeah.
But still, that is amusing. Yeah, we'll see. But I don't see McLaren dropping off that badly in 26, to be honest. I think you're looking at the Mercedes-powered teams and thinking they'll probably do quite well. So they might not be winning it, but it's just a toss-up, isn't it? Because
no one knows, do they?
Yeah.
This is the thing. This is the thing.
Yeah, yeah. But we shall see. But it's all kicking off, and I don't think it's very helpful for McLaren as a as an organisation. It's probably taken the shine off their Constructors' Championship a little bit for Zak Brown.
Well, I think Oscar, their championship leader, not celebrating with them on the podium. I know, obviously, they've explained why that happened. And I don't think Oscar wanted to be there anyway, but that probably also didn't look great and maybe took a bit of a shine off it. I mean, I just hope the end of this season is cinema, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I know you hope that it's cinema and Max Verstappen wins it, is what you're hoping.
I will be the smuggest person in all of Manchester and probably the UK if Max Verstappen somehow wins this championship.
You heard it here first, ladies and gents. You heard it here first. I mean, yeah, it is just one of those things, isn't it, that is such a mess. And kind of always that thing as well, isn't it? It feels like, you know, McLaren's meteoric rise back to right. I don't know if you watched the video that F1 posted. It was quite a good one a few days ago.
Yeah.
Obviously about, you know, ninth in 2015, ninth in 2017. And kind of this huge recovery that they've had, obviously, since then. It is very impressive, especially, obviously, not being a works team. You know, their 10th Constructors' Championship as well is obviously very, very good going. But kind of, you know, we spoke about it with Red Bull earlier on this year. Is it kind of, you know, is there always the potential still of, obviously, this house of cards could really collapse around Zak Brown? Because, obviously, you know, despite, you know, he's deleted WhatsApp messages, everything like that, it's not a criminal case or anything like that. You know, I've seen a couple of people going, oh, he's deleting evidence, he could go to prison. They're going, no, this isn't a criminal case. That's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah, no chance.
If it was a criminal case, I'd hope he wouldn't be that stupid. Because, obviously, then they would just throw the book at him.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing Law, our new podcast.
Yeah, I watched Suits. That was as good as it got for me.
Have you watched Suits, have you?
Yeah, Suits is fantastic.
Is it that good, is it?
Yeah, yeah, genuinely.
I'm halfway through season 4, and I'm kind of like, this is all right.
Defo watched the end of 7, that's what I'd say.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, if you're halfway through 4, you got to keep watching now. It's good stuff.
Fair enough.
And it will teach you a lot about, well, it won't. You can use law terms without knowing what they mean. Because
as far as I gather, there's just a huge amount of illegal stuff that keeps going on, and then no one faces repercussion.
Well, exactly. That's it. That's TV for you.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think the outcome of this is all going to be for this case? As we've clearly established, both of us know a lot about UK law. It's not even UK, is it? Is it?
It's under American law, I believe.
Oh, I know even less about American law then.
Well, you've watched Suits, apparently. You know everything about American law. I found out as well before I started watching it. Apparently most of Suits is filmed in Toronto, isn't it? It's not even filmed in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, no, episode 1, the pilot was in New York. The rest of it's in Toronto.
Hilarious. I think, honestly, this whole case is going to be a whole lot of mudslinging. I think nothing will really come out of it, and then McLaren will therefore probably be the losers. Because, obviously, especially if more stuff comes out about Zak Brown, it's not a great image. Especially, obviously, I mean, I guess they're sponsored by Google, who love hiding information anyway. So, you know, there's always that and selling on your data and all this.
He says, reckon
posting this to YouTube.
Exactly. Don't kill us, please, Google overlords. I feel like McLaren will legally win, but
In what way? How do you think they're legally going to win? Do they going to get money out of Palau?
No, they won't get money out of Palau, but Palau, I think they'll prove that Palau wasn't promised the seat officially. Maybe it was a verbal.
But does that mean they win?
Well, it means Palau's not got a case. So they wouldn't lose any money, McLaren, if they prove that. But regardless, they would lose a lot of public image and goodwill. So I think McLaren won't come out of this looking like winners, but legally I think they'll win the case.
Yeah. I mean, again, it just doesn't help, of course. I know, obviously, again, you don't really keep up with IndyCar, but the whole disaster they've had, obviously, about that second seat, especially throughout last year as well, with David Malukas.
They're still going in IndyCar.
McLaren, yeah, they're still there. Obviously, with David Malukas coming in, breaking his wrist, not being there anymore, Teo Pourchaire coming in and immediately getting kicked to the curb. All this, that, and the other that has been such a disaster for them. Of course, the other big thing might well be that people suddenly don't want to drive for McLaren's IndyCar team anymore. They're going, why would I want that risk if this is the way they treat their drivers?
Especially if they promise you a Formula 1 seat in the future.
Exactly. We've talked a lot about IndyCar today, Jamie. Would you like your quiz?
Oh, if it's on IndyCar, there's not a chance I'm doing anything. Okay. Go ahead.
Jamie 183, you will have... I'm going to give you 90 seconds today.
Gosh, I already know it's going to be horrendous.
Yep, I know it is as well. There are 13 F1 drivers that have won the Indy 500. You have 90 seconds.
Wait, including the 50s ones?
No, sorry, not including the 50s. So your goal today... Oh, no, I think actually, sorry, it does include the 1950s, but they had to have raced somewhere else in F1 as well.
It was probably Sebring or somewhere else in America, wasn't it? So there's not a chance of getting any of them.
Well, they would have had to win at Indy and obviously, yeah, competing elsewhere as well. But yeah, there's 13 answers. F1 drivers that also won the Indy 500. Your time starts now.
Marcus Ericsson.
Correct.
That might be me out.
Surely not.
Not Fernando Alonso.
Not Fernando Alonso. That's good. Yeah, there's 8 billion
people. Oh, Triple Crown, of course. Jim Clark? No.
Jim Clark is correct, I'll give you that, even though you're not convinced.
Who was the other Triple Crown winner? It was just Jim Clark, wasn't it? You can't tell me that. Bill Vukovic?
No.
This is horrendous stuff.
You got 53 seconds.
Americans, I'm sure there's been more. Takuma Sato?
He's not American, but correct.
No, I know he's not. He is correct. Yeah.
Americans immediately names Takuma Sato.
I think people who were kind of mid in F1 who just went to US and just cooked. Grosjean got a bit close, didn't he? I don't think he won it.
I don't believe... No, he ever only ever competed in one Indy 500. 30 seconds.
Stingray Rob?
Oh, dear Lord, no. Where does Elio... Stingray Rob race in F1?
Elio De Angelis?
No.
De Cesaris?
No. 15 seconds.
Reutemann?
No.
Regazzoni?
No.
James Hunt?
No. When did he do the Indy 500?
I don't know.
Man?
I don't know anything. I don't know who did Indy 500.
3, 2, 1, and your time is up. That is.
Was there any more that I should have got?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just going to also put out there that every person that watches Knowing Wheel now hates you.
Only American people.
No, for what you said halfway through, every motorsport fan in the world hates you.
Who have I forgotten about the Triple Crown?
No. Well, that is exactly the problem. Jim Clark never won the Triple Crown. He never won Le Mans.
No, I didn't think he did, but someone else did that Alonso was trying to replicate, and I can't remember who.
Yes, and that, I think, is what will have upset everybody. Okay. The original Mr. Monaco.
Graham Hunt. Graham...
Graham Hunt! Jamie, we can't call Graham this podcast Hill. Graham Wheel Hill. Anymore.
It's early morning. I haven't woken up yet.
Graham Hunt. Oh, man.
I bet there is a guy called Graham Hunt out there.
I'm maybe sure there is, but he didn't win Motorsports Triple Crown.
Oh, dear.
You got three.
You got more than three.
No, you got three. You got Jim Clark, you got Takuma Sato, you got Marcus Ericsson. That was it.
Okay.
There was, obviously, you should have got Graham Hill. Didn't.
Yeah.
I thought you'd get Mario Andretti.
Possibly. Yeah.
A very famous American who raced in Formula 1 as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
Roger Ward won it in the early 60s. Not surprised he didn't get him. Chance. In fact, first time around, I actually wrote is Roger Penske, because even I'm a bit of a moron. Mark Donohue. Definitely would have heard of him. But I'm not convinced you would have got him. Danny Sullivan, again, obviously didn't race that much in Formula 1, was far more known for his American adventures. A few more that you definitely should have got. Emerson Fittipaldi.
Oh, I was going to get to him when I was railing off, like, mid-70s drivers.
Yep. Jacques Villeneuve.
Yeah, probably could have got that.
Obviously won in the... and obviously Eddie Cheever as well. Not surprised you didn't get him as much. And then, of course, Juan Pablo Montoya won in the on debut and has technically come the closest of any... has technically come the closest of anybody else to win the Triple Crown because he did win his class at Le Mans and obviously the Monaco Grand Prix.
Didn't Sato win his class at Le Mans as well?
I don't think has ever really competed in Le Mans at that kind of higher level. And the last one that you probably could have got, you said you were trying to name Americans. Modern time American Formula 1 driver.
Alex Rossi.
Correct. Yeah, won it.
Oh, I didn't know he won it. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I believe he won it 2016. I think it was his first year. It was 2016 or 2017. Oh, no, 2016, yeah, literally just the year after he left F1, immediately won Indy. Which is very good going as well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know it. So, Alexander Rossi and Juan Pablo Montoya both won their first ever Indy 500s as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to rename this to just knowing the Pirelli P0 F1 wheel, not any other kind of wheel.
In your case, absolutely. Absolutely. That was arguably one of the worst quizzes I think you've ever done.
Hopefully it was entertaining.
I mean, it was painful to be on the other side of the I was going to say the commentary box then, but that's definitely not right. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie?
Do we think anything's going to happen this week in Formula One? Probably not. Maybe
Mercedes could sign contracts, apparently, maybe. I mean, the fact this is going on in Dakota seems utterly insane, doesn't it? Especially after George won in Singapore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just
they're
seems
probably
bizarre.
Just still not happy on the wages he's asking for, I'd imagine. But
probably. Yeah, there definitely seems to be some disagreement there. But obviously, yeah, if anything gets obviously confirmed with that, obviously we'll talk about it, I'm sure, later on in the week. So it's actually ended up being a more snippet episode of Knowing Wheel for a bit of a change. As always, so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed, all that good stuff. Like we said, Jamie and I will be back on Friday to preview the US Grand Prix. Looking forward to that one as well. Obviously, it's a late night race, Jamie. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, and a sprint weekend as well, because we're into sprint race season at the end of the year. But yeah, that'll do us for this one, though, and we will see you all very, very soon.